And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app TrueConnect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of TrueConnect exclusively for Raider Nation.
You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Well, happy NFL New Year, Raider Nation. Eddie Pascal here, joined with my guy, Jason Fitz of Yahoo Sports. And welcome to a special edition of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. Fitz, here we are, sir. We made it. We're recording this, let's call it 2 o'clock West Coast on Wednesday. And it's all happening. The Raiders are rocking and rolling. The league is a flurry with moves. How are you, good sir?
Man, you know what? I'm great. Better than great. I'm spectacular. And you mentioned brought to you by the fine folks at Coors Light. Like, I don't even know if you know this, but when I was on the road, my first real road gig, Phil Vassar, only beer that he ever drank was Coors Light. And I'm telling you, when all the news started to break of what we were hearing on Monday, I felt like it was time to pull out an ice cold Coors Light. Just sit back and celebrate. And there have been very few times in the last several years that my phone has blown up for a positive. And the reports of Christian Wilkins joining my beloved Raiders was not only a positive, it was a massive home run. I have never, in all of the years of free agency, for everybody that talks about the good and bad, I have never had my phone blow up without a single negative comment from any smart football person that I know. Until now. And the Christian Wilkins signing, I even reached out to one expert and said, what am I missing? Why? Like, what should I be afraid of? And the answer I got was absolutely nothing. You're getting an incredible player in his prime. This is an amazing move. Like, I'm telling you, the Wilkins signing just set the entire offseason into some level of just chaos and beautiful happiness for so many of us.
Oh, I love it. I love when Fitz, when you're happy, I'm happy. And I think on a serious note, like when you're happy, it tends to speak to a positive feeling, a positive sentiment surrounding the fan base. But let's go in order, right? Let's just go in chronological order since the last time you and I hung out in a substantive way, the moves that the Raiders have made. So if we start on March 8th, so just under a week ago, we're going to go in order. Raiders re-signed Ameer Abdullah. More on that in a second. I think an important guy to bring back. A few days later, the Raiders re-signed center Andre James. On the 12th, which was yesterday, the Raiders brought back linebacker Kenai Mauga. And then earlier this afternoon, they officially released Jimmy Garoppolo, Hunter Renfrow, Brian Hoyer, and Jerry Tillery. Let's start here. There's a lot of names on there, and we will get to Christian Wilkins and Gardner Minshew in a little bit, but I want to start just kind of in some semblance of order. Let's begin with Andre. Andre comes back. He is now, again, going to be the man in the middle for the silver and black, this offensive line. Your thoughts that Andre returns, but perhaps, I want to say more importantly, but kind of part two of that, Dylan Parham is now going to stay at guard, at least from our perception of things looking from the outside in.
So one thing that was reported by multiple people that do good work around the team is that the Raiders looked at the guard market and decided they were going to be priced out of it. And I read that report, and I sort of rolled my eyes. I was like, I don't know, man. That just seems like, I mean, really priced out of the guard market? And what did we see immediately reported all over the NFL Network by all of the reporters, at least the reported signings? Immediately we saw that the guard market exploded, right? So what does this tell us? This tells us that Telesco, who's coming in as the GM of this team, part of the reason Mark Davis wanted an experienced GM was to make sure that they were prepared for every variable. The fact that the Raiders looked at the market, realized that the talent was not going to be worth the price point, and that it actually made more sense to reinvest in somebody they already know in Andre James, keep continuity from the center to the left side of the line, and do it while avoiding getting into a spending spree around the guard market particularly, I think that speaks to a front office that is obviously plugged into what the league's about to do. It speaks to solid anticipation. It speaks to sound roster management. Like, everything about these are the moments, Eddie, that like sometimes you got to figure out not just what you love, but what you think is going to be out there and what it's going to cost you. For Telesco to be able to anticipate the market and keep Andre James, that was an A-plus move to me.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And I tweeted out the other day, is like you look and all of a sudden, Fitz, the Raiders haven't had a question at center now in pushing a decade. You go from Rodney Hudson, and look, I want to be really careful. I'm not comparing Rodney and Andre. I'm just saying in the world of facts and reason, Rodney Hudson was an incredible center, dominated the middle for the Raiders for a handful of years, passed the torch to Andre, who has now done a really nice job, and again, keeps continuity to your point, make sure that the interior of that line remains intact. And Andre, for an undrafted dude, Fitz, has had a really, really nice career now, hadn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's comfortable, right, with everybody that's around him. And this is where the devil you know is important. And one of the advantages that you have in keeping AP as a head coach is that he's been around these guys. So one disadvantage a new coaching staff typically has is all they have is the film to try and figure out what was good and what was bad. And I can tell you from watching film with experts all the time that 10 people can watch film and get 10 different conclusions out of it, right? So asking a new coach to come in and a new staff to come in and a new GM to come in and then assess the strengths and weaknesses of a player is a lot in a short amount of time. The fact that AP's been in the building with Andre speaks to the fact that he's comfortable with him, knows him. I think that helps in the evaluation process also. So you've got a center that everybody's comfortable with. You've got a center that's been, he's been good. He's done his job and he's getting paid at what feels like an appropriate level for where he is. Like, no, he's not sitting here right now, you know, beating down the doors of the top paid center in the NFL. And that's okay. It feels like the Raiders looked at this, and I'll use this term a lot through the course of this episode, but in general, wins above replacement. Like we talk about it all the time in baseball, wins above replacement. When you start looking at it at the NFL level, I think what they looked at is if you keep Parham at guard and Andre James at center, what's your wins above replacement? If you have to go out and spend hundreds of millions of dollars to do something there, you don't upgrade. So that's part of why it makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm a big, especially on the offensive line fits, I love continuity. I love not switching out things unless you have to switch it out. Right tackle will be something that will have to be addressed. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, really quickly, and I want to give these guys their due. Amir Abdullah back in silver and black. Great veteran presence in that locker room. A dude who can do stuff on special teams. Great third down back. Happy to have Amir back. Kanai Mauga also returns. And now we shift ahead to the start of the league year, which, as I said, was about an hour ago, the first official move of league year 2024 for your Las Vegas Raiders. They released Jimmy Garoppolo, Hunter Renfrow, Brian Hoyer, and Jerry Tillery. Not, unfortunately, fits a huge surprise on any of those four. Obviously, in our department, Hunter Renfrow, a dude that we've grown to know really, really well over the past couple years, he took to Twitter recently after he found out he was not going to be here and just said, "Raider Nation, thank you for welcoming me and my family in the past 5 years. From Oakland to Vegas, it felt like home. I wouldn't be the person I am today without my teammates and coaches inspire me every single day. 5 years went by quick. Once a Raider, always a Raider." Good tenure in silver and black for our guy Hunter Renfrow, right?
And sometimes a fresh start's good for everybody.
Agreed.
Involved in this process. And it just feels like I think Hunter has the ability to go somewhere and be a star player. I don't think this is at all an indictment on Hunter Renfrow. This is sort of the decisions that the organization's made over the last couple of years. And now you start to look at the way the wide receiver room is stacked and you look at where you want to put your money and your resources. This made sense for the Raiders. It also makes sense for Hunter Renfrow. And I can say all of that while saying it still sucks because I love Hunter Renfrow, the player. Like, he's easy to root for, right? But I think Hunter's going to go somewhere and be very good. And we're going to have to remember in the context while he does that this wasn't about Hunter. This was about the wide receiver room they have and how they feel they need to build the roster moving forward.
Yeah, 100%. And look, we kind of give the line that we give to most of our guys because we've been really lucky the past couple of years to have really incredible locker rooms. Like, I'm going to root for Hunter Renfrow wherever he goes, except the Sundays where he plays the silver and black. And I think that's fair and appropriate. And we wish Hunter and his family absolutely nothing but the best, Fitz. But Mr. Renfrow is not the only Raider that became a former Raider over the past couple days. A couple big ones, right? Josh Jacobs, friend of the program, surprisingly ends up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Man, I think that fair to say, no, I don't want to say it was a surprise that he's not here. To me, Fitz, it feels like a surprise that he ended up in Green Bay of all places.
I think it's a surprise that he ended up in Green Bay on what, you know, depends on the reports. And look, we got to get the contracts still. But multiple reports have been out there saying it amounts to essentially a one-year $13.5 million deal with a bunch of options afterwards. So that tells you that, hey, they were willing to pay him a lot of money, and rightfully so. So I think Josh is one of the best running backs in the NFL. What do you do when you've got a great player at a position where maybe having a great player isn't the absolute necessity? And this is where we've talked about this before on a personal level. You and I have texted about this before. Like, it's just one of the gross parts of covering football is to understand that for many organizations, the running back position is simply, we're going to get bodies in there, we're going to turn them and burn them, and we're going to go. I think Antonio Pierce would have loved a world where Josh Jacobs comes back, but it is Telesco's job as the GM to look at it and say, what's best for our roster moving forward? So it's Zamir White's job now. But again, I think Josh is going to a situation where he's going to be on a team that could be a Super Bowl contender. He's going to be a big part of why they're able to just absolute dominate in the winter months up there. Like, this is going to be a big moment for Josh Jacobs. He's got plenty of gas left in the tank.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Zamir too, where, you know, you go and you take out the personal aspect of it, where it's a tough decision, right? Where if you're Tom Telesco, you say, hey, like, Josh Jacobs, this guy led the league in rushing, what, 13 months ago, 14 months ago, what are we going to do? But I think that decision is made a little bit easier when you look at what Zamir White did at the end of 2023. Zamir finishes his year averaging north of 4 yards a carry, showed that he has the ability to kind of be an every down type back. Now, I'll be really curious what this means for the room as a whole going into 2024, because you look at the pieces in that room and you now have Amir and Zamir. But what does that kind of look like, you know, 6 weeks from now, 7 weeks from now? That to me fits, and certainly not at 13 overall, but maybe day two into day three of the draft, I would love for a little bit of a young, an infusion of young, exciting talent into that running back room as we get ready for 2024.
As we stand right now, I'd be shocked if the running back position isn't addressed. Now, that being said, this is not, you're going to see a lot of draft pundits come in and tell you that this isn't a great running back class. It doesn't have a Bijan, right? So it's not like last year's class was, but there are quality running backs in this draft class that a lot of people believe in that can play, right? So I think this becomes, to me, looking at the Raiders and where their holes are, I would love to see a world where the first and second round pick can go to other spots. But once we hit the third round, I think the Raiders become a very active looker at the running back market. And heck, you and I were texting the day that Zamir was drafted, and you could feel that was coming. Like, you got to the fourth round or so, and you're saying, okay, running back is going to be on the list. I think that's the same approach you take this year. And then, hey, you bring in somebody and you give that, whoever comes in is going to have the opportunity to win carries. And Zamir is going to have the opportunity to show the world that he can be the absolute number one bell cow back. So it's a win-win. It's just a different approach. And I have to make it clear, as a Raiders fan, I'm bummed Josh Jacobs isn't going to be part of this team. As a fan of the way he plays the game, as a Josh Jacobs fan, I'm going to be bummed that he's not part of the team. But I also understand the logic behind it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, Fitz, the way that this room looks in early May, or, you know, when we break for the summer in late June or mid-June, I should say, like, it'll be really interesting to see. Because we look at the room right now, three guys under contract. It's Amir, Zamir, and I apologize, I forgot about Britton Brown as well, who we didn't see last season, but a guy who has played in some really good football at UCLA a few years back, flashed in the preseason, as of late, and obviously we didn't see a whole lot of him in 2023. But yeah, I mean, a group that particularly day two, day three of the draft, I would love to see that addressed in a little, in a meaningful way. We talked about the right side of the offensive line. Fitz, Jermaine Illuminor, per reports and per his Twitter feed, off to New York. Jermaine, you know, love him or hate him, find yourself somewhere in between. That dude laid it all out on the line every single game day for this team, for this organization, for the fan base. And again, another dude that we are going to wish nothing but success going forward.
Yeah, by the way, somebody that I think every single game grew, got better. Somebody that worked his ass off. Yeah. Like, I mean, look, not every football player is going to be built the same way. And not every football player is going to step on the field, automatically dominate. And some that do automatically dominate don't have the motor to continue to try and get better. I would remind everybody of, you know, go back and look at what Max looked like when he was drafted versus what he looks like now, like the work he's put in his life. I think we have to look at Jermaine particularly and say, you talk about somebody that never did anything other than put in the work. That's what you want, right? So I think there's a real opportunity. He's the type of player that's going to be in the league for a long time because he's versatile. He can play all over the line. He can do whatever he's asked to do. He does it with humility. He puts in all the effort. He's a good teammate, everything that you want. Now, if you're the Raiders, you can say yes to all of that, but also we want to upgrade at that position. And especially going into this year's draft, I would again remind everybody, if the Raiders are in a situation where they're picking 13. If they can't move up, as everybody continues to speculate, if they don't end up at the top of this thing, getting a quarterback, as I know everybody wants, salivates over at 13, they will have an opportunity in one of the deepest and most talented offensive line drafts I've ever seen. They'll have the opportunity to get a starting tackle day one. So there are options for the team.
And Fitz, it's not sexy, right? Like, I'll be the first person to admit it, but I would absolutely love, like, I would, you know, 10 out of 10, check every box. If at 13, the Raiders get the best offensive lineman available, and then you're able to address quarterback either in the second round or, you know, a little further on in the draft. Like, if you're able to do that, if you're able to go best offensive lineman at 13 and you're able to get your quarterback of the future, giving this guy a chance to develop and compete in the top of the second, sign me up. All right, Tom Telesco, you did it. I'm good. Like, let's wrap it up. We'll see you in for OTAs. But just Jermaine's quick thank you before we move on. Jermaine goes, Raider Nation, thank you for the past 3 years. My time with the organization was nothing short of amazing. From the fans to my teammates, I've loved every single second representing the silver and black. I found myself in Las Vegas, and I truly became a pro. The Raiders organization and fan base will always have a place in my heart. Love y'all. Hearts from Jermaine. So, like I said, man, we wish him nothing but the best. Except the days that he plays the silver and black. A few other departures to hit on real quick. Austin Hooper off to New England. Bilal Nichols to Arizona. And I think we are up to date there with Raiders guys who were who are now currently free agents now that we've started the league year. I look at this fit. Going to be a big year for Michael Mayer. Big year two for Michael Mayer. Your solid veteran presence, Austin Hooper, is now out of here. It's now your time to go be that big dog in the room, right? The highly drafted guy, the guy with all the physical attributes, the guy with all the gifts, the guy with all the talent in the world. And a nice, solid rookie campaign. But I think now you look at Michael Mayer and say, hey, it's time to go from here to here in 2024.
And this is where Luke Getsy is going to earn his money, too. I think, can't say this loud enough, when you talk about what every rookie was up against last year, coming in, learning a very complicated system, also figuring out how to be a pro, moving halfway across the country, figuring out life, all of the things you and I talk about all the time, that's part of it. The other part of it is now offensive coordinators that were looking at this job. You know, the insiders I talked to said people looked at Michael Mayer as one of the pluses to, man, I want to work with this guy. So now Luke Getsy has the opportunity, somebody that's used to finding a way to get tight ends open in his offense, has the opportunity to come in and do the same thing. I expect a huge year from Mayer. I think this is a big statement year. And look, it wasn't bad last year. I thought he was a great pick when he was selected. I think he's going to turn out to be a great Raider. I think this year he takes a big leap forward. And when you start talking about Mayer with Jacoby Myers and obviously with Devontae, I mean, that's a big part of why this offense could be really legit if they can figure out some of the little things they need to.
Yes, agreed 100%. And now, Fitz, because I know you've been licking your chops, you wanted to get there. Let me put my big, before we dive into it, I have to put my big disclaimer out there, right? If you look around the NFL, you see very little official type statements from teams, right? You see we've agreed to terms, we've done X and Y, but you haven't seen those pictures that we all love of guys signing the contract yet. The league year started just about an hour and a half ago, and so the guys that Fitz and I are going to discuss are, per report, joining the silver and black. Just want to be very clear that as of now, as I sit here in our facility, no contract has been signed. And that's not to say that it's not going to be signed. I'm just saying in a very legal, practical sense, per reports, right? So Fitz, per reports, two new Raiders in the coming days. Christian Wilkins, who you mentioned a little bit earlier, and Gardner Minshew. You praise Mr. Wilkins for obvious reasons, but let us begin here. The question that we have all been asking ourselves over the past 48 hours, what does this mean for number 98? What does this mean for the Condor, Jason Fitz, that Christian Wilkins is now going to set up residence here in Las Vegas?
I think this speaks to the identity of this team. It speaks to the style of football that's going to be played. It speaks to what Antonio Pierce wants to build. It speaks to the aggressiveness that they're attacking their strengths with. And modern NFL, over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, we used to look at balance. I believe that in the current NFL structure, more and more, we see teams saying, hey, if I can make my strengths superhuman, then I can beat anybody. And that's what this move feels like. Look, I think we all agree that a top corner is a priority for this team. And they may try to address that in the draft, but there's still plenty of time. But if you haven't addressed that, what's the best way to address it? Disrupt the quarterback. The advanced analytics will show you that somebody that can create any sort of disruption up the middle in any way, shape, or form is actually more important than an edge rusher. So now you have one of the best edge rushers in the league with one of the best interior linemen in the league. You've got two people that at their respective positions were the leaders in double teams for players that played their position. What's that tell you? It tells you that you can't do that anymore. Also, they were two of the leaders in the entire NFL at percentage of snaps played. So you've got two guys that are on the field that you have to account for at all times. I think that you look at this, these two guys side by side, this isn't good. This is great. This isn't great. This is epic. This is the sort of move that you make when you say, we are going to knock the you-know-what out of the other team, and we are going to disrupt. And they're able to do that because of Max. And now you put Max together with Christian Wilkins. This has the chance to be one of the best D-line combos we've ever seen in the silver and black.
You know, and I'm glad you brought up kind of the identity aspect to all this, because I go back to November 1st, right, and the when the page turned to the Antonio Pierce Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, you and I talked about this a bunch, both on the shows and just, you know, casually texting and whatnot. Like, it became very clear, literally almost overnight, that is not an exaggeration, about what the 2020, at the time, 2023 Las Vegas Raiders were going to be. What were they going to be? They were going to be a team that played incredibly stout, aggressive, solid defense, took advantage of their opportunities on offense, but they were going to be a defense-first team. That was going to be the heartbeat of the 2023 Las Vegas Raiders. And to your point now, seeing what Tom Telesco did in the first hours of the legal tampering period, going out and getting Christian Wilkins, making his best player, Max Crosby, even better, getting him a running mate that is on par with what he can be and what he wants to do, I was joking with one of my buddies who works in the AFC West, and I said, man, it's going to be like, and I meant it in a serious new way. I was like, it's going to be awesome when we start playing like Big Ten football, right? When we're winning games 14-10, 7-3. It might not be sexy, but it is going to be old school, smash mouth, physical, aggressive, no BS football. And I cannot wait, Fitz. I really cannot wait. And to your point, the fact that Christian Wilkins is coming in his prime, this is not a guy who is like, oh, let's see if he's got some gas left in the tank. No, this is a dude. This is a big dude, 100%, and a guy who's going to make Max Crosby's life easier, a guy who's going to make Tyree Wilson's life easier, a guy who's going to help Malcolm Kuntz. Like, you look at this defensive line, and if you're Patrick Graham, you got to be like, oh, man, like, what can I not do in 2024? It opens up an exciting array of possibilities, and it's going to be a blast to watch as we go through training camp in the preseason.
I talked to somebody that knows the Dolphins inside and out, and he said he's the type of teammate everybody wants. And I think that's important in this process too, because you're coming into a locker room that's tight knit, right? You're coming into guys that have really bonded together. Patrick Graham has familiarity with him. So obviously they've worked together in capacity. So there is some familiarity there as well. So you're talking about everybody in the room sort of having this good chemistry already. And then it feels to me like, to oversimplify, if the entire organization, Mark Davis, AP, Tom Telesco, if everybody sat down in a conference room, and they said before free agency, what's the one move that we could actually make right now that we control that will improve our football team more than any other? I believe that's what they did. I don't think there's any other free agent that could have a bigger impact to them coming into week one of the season that was actually going to hit the open market. I don't think there was any player that was out there that they could get in a trade that would make more of an impact. Like, if you look around the landscape and say, this isn't hypotheticals, mock draft people saying trade this and trade that. No, this is an actual, what can we do that improves our team? The answer, the top answer would have been sign Christian Wilkins. So they went out and they did the damn thing. Like, that is at some level aggressive to saying, hey, we're not going to lay down and just let the Chiefs run away with this. We're going to continue to fight until we figure out what our offense looks like.
And a question for you, Fitz, right? Kind of in an historical sense, we were debating this in the studio the other day. When was the last time, with all due respect to the players that have come in this building in the past decade or so, when was the last time the Raiders had a solid, or not even solid, above average, dominant type defensive tackle in the middle of the defensive line? When's the last one that you remember?
I mean, Richard Seymour was supposed to be that, but he came in a much different point in his career. I think while he played well, I don't think that and he's a Hall of Famer. I think it's also fair to acknowledge that Richard Seymour was not 27, right? So, I mean, to me, when you talk about the whole defensive line, it made me think back to when I was a kid, because to your point, like, it makes me think of the Greg Towns and Howie Long, like the era in the late 80s where it just felt like the defense could get after anybody from anywhere, anytime. Like, that was such a frantic, hectic pass rush. That's what it reminded me of when the actual transaction went down. And that's You mentioned briefly Malcolm Kuntz, but I don't want to sleep on that because I see everybody nationally talking about Tyree Wilson, which is fine. That's a great conversation. I hope he has a big second year. Malcolm Kuntz last year had a big year. Like, he showed in the back 2 months of the season who he can be. I think the entire other side of the defensive line is going to have the opportunity to just disrupt one-on-one. That's one of the big advantages here. So that's the other part of this defensive line that can end up being absolutely frightening.
Yeah, and I think what's exciting too, Fitz, is kind of on the back end of that, is the versatility of all these guys, right? Like, it's and we saw it happen last year, right, where you can throw Tyree, you know, on the inside. You can put him in the middle, ask him to be disruptive there. We've certainly seen, it doesn't happen a lot, but we've seen Max go in the inside, right? You can move Christian Wilkins to the outside. Like, there are so many different combinations and varieties of pass rush that Patrick Graham is going to have at his disposal in 2024. And we haven't even talked about, and look, defensive line is not a need in the draft, but you're telling me you can't find another guy in the fourth round to add depth, to give a little bit of something for 10, 15 snaps a day? Like, as crazy as it sounds, Fitz, I feel like it's fair and appropriate to say that the Raiders defensive line, as good as it is on Wednesday afternoon, it's fair to say it's not done yet being constructed for 2024.
No, and one national NFL writer I talked to the other day, he texted me and he said, man, there's a very legitimate chance that the Raiders will have the best defensive line in the NFL this year. Think about that. Like, that statement, like, and that, you want to talk about how to beat Mahomes, how to beat Justin Herbert. And now you talk about the way this division is going to look. We know Mahomes is just going to morph into whatever he needs to every year to beat you. We know that. But we also know that the Chargers are going to have to gut their roster a little bit and commit to really just pounding the football. So you've got to have a defensive line that can hold up against the run, and you've got to have a defensive line that can disrupt Mahomes. That's tough to do. Wilkins is perfect for that ability. And to your point, I wouldn't rule out defensive line in the NFL draft at all for this team, because I think bodies are going to be important. If this is where everybody likes to find a big name and say, well, we need a starting corner, let's go get Jalen Ramsey. I would argue that the better thing to do, rather than go overpay for a number one corner that may be past their prime, is to continue to invest in that D line in a way that every single snap, you got fresh bodies out there that are just destroying whoever they're up against. That's the way you disrupt your opponent.
And let's be clear, right? A few years ago, Fitz, when the Raiders selected this skinny dude from Eastern Michigan, not a lot of guys raised their eyebrows and said, well, this guy will be a nice depth piece. And then you wake up in 2023 and Mad Max is one of the best defensive players in the NFL. So it just goes to show you, right? Sometimes you got to be a little bit lucky. Sometimes you got to be a little good. Sometimes it's a little combination of both. But yeah, exciting times for the Raiders defense, which again, even after November, it still feels kind of weird to say sometimes. But again, Fitz, we carry on. And again, in big bold letters, per reports, Gardner Minshew now joins the fray in the silver and black. Item number one, the man just looks like a Raider. We were going over the lyrics of The Autumn Wind earlier today. The man with the bristling black mustache is now going to be handling business here in Las Vegas. Let's be very clear, Fitz, right? Like, we have not heard from Tom Telesco. We have not heard from AP. We haven't heard from anyone about what Gardner's role is going to be. My expectation is he comes in, he gets a chance to compete, right? That's you know, if you're a guy like Gardner at this point in his career, you get a chance to come in here, show what you can be on a day-to-day basis, and let the chips fall where they may. I personally love this. I think that the guy embodies everything that means to be a Raider. Let us not forget that he is the last quarterback to win a game at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum in a day and evening that is seared in all of our memories. But all the same, man, it feels like a good quality move from Tom Telesco, adding some quarterback talent to that room, because you and I have talked about this a bunch. Regardless of what happens at 13, regardless if the Raiders stay there, they move back, they move up, whatever, there were going to have to be some new bodies in that room. And Tom Telesco and AP addressed that in the early goings of free agency this week.
I'm going to say this in the most family-friendly analogy I can here, okay? Everybody keeps saying, well, AP said he doesn't want a Band-Aid. There's a difference between Band-Aids and protection, right? And that's what Gardner Minshew is, right? He is the ultimate, like, let's call it saran wrap. He's the ultimate, yeah. Like, you're just going to cover this over, we're going to be fine. Here's the reason I say that. Because the variable that none of us know right now is what's going to happen in the NFL draft. So as an organization, I believe it would be blatantly irresponsible to go into the NFL draft and not know what you're doing at the quarterback position if you don't draft one, because they don't control. And I can't stress this enough. The Raiders do not control their own destiny in the draft. They can offer up you, me, Max, the entire team headquarters, and 74 draft picks. And the Bears, the Commanders, the Patriots could all say no to that. Although you and I are dashingly good looking. I don't know why they would say no, but they could. So my point being, even if you're a fan listening right now and you're saying, but I want Jaden Daniels. Okay, people in hell want ice water. Like, there is no assurance that you can actually get to Jaden Daniels. And everybody I've talked to has made it very clear to me that none of those three teams are going to move no matter what. So what the Raiders couldn't do, in my opinion, is let free agency end, go into the draft. Suddenly, because of the way the draft falls, not only do they not have a shot at ending the top three, I think there's a real scenario five quarterbacks could go in the top 12. So all of a sudden, now maybe you don't like the sixth best quarterback. Maybe you don't want the sixth best quarterback. What are you going to do in that situation? Then you can't be stuck post-draft looking around and saying, well, it's Aiden O'Connell or bust. You needed to bring somebody in that could push him. So this is perfect, because if Gardner beats out Aiden O'Connell, fine. Then it wasn't Aiden's job, right? If Aiden beats out Gardner, fine. He's getting paid $15 million, according to reports, if this all comes to fruition. He's getting paid $25 million, 15 of which is guaranteed, according to reports, right? So to me, it's sort of win-win. And if you draft a quarterback, then you were already telling Aiden this was probably not his job. And you need a grown-ass man in the room. They can teach you how to be a pro. I genuinely believe every Patrick Mahomes needs an Alex Smith. And I know for a fact Gardner Minshew can be an Alex Smith.
And I will just kind of piggyback on that, where if you go to Raiders.com, which I hope all of you are doing for your most recent and up-to-date Raiders news, if you go to Raiders.com and you go to the roster page and you sort by position, so it puts all the players in sort of by group alphabetically, there is one quarterback on this roster. One. It's Aiden O'Connell. You cannot go into a season, you cannot go into a draft, Jason Fitz, with one quarterback on the roster. So what will Gardner's role be? I think Gardner's going to have a lot of say in what that role ends up being based on what he shows over the next couple months throughout the offseason program. I think Aiden O'Connell is going to have a lot to say about what Gardner's role is over the next couple months. Because, like, let's be very clear, too. Antonio Pierce, from day one, from November 1st, and then again, he has repeated the same thing throughout the offseason. He goes, Aiden's going to get a chance to compete for this job. He goes, it's a disservice to Aiden. We owe that to Aiden. Aiden has earned that, the right to compete to be the starting quarterback of the 2024 Las Vegas Raiders. So in a very practical sense, Jason Fitz, you have to have more than one quarterback on a roster. So whether it's Gardner Minshew or quarterback X or quarterback Y, you have to have more than one quarterback on a roster. That said, I'm really excited about what Gardner could possibly bring to Silver and Black. An infectious personality, a guy who I think this fan base is going to grab onto and hold tight very quickly. It'll be a blast to see what he does here in Silver and Black. But at the end of the day, right, whether it's quarterback, left tackle, safety, whatever position it is, Fitz, competition is the name of the game. And I'm excited to see how Gardner pushes Aiden and how Aiden pushes Gardner over the next couple months.
I also think that Shane Steichen, the head coach for the Colts, did a beautiful job with a lot of run, like a lot of RPOs, a lot of option type looks, a lot of bootlegs. They were trying to get Gardner out and give him the chance to make plays. What did Luke Getsy do with Justin Fields? Love or hate Justin Fields, no matter where you are on that. A lot of RPO stuff, a lot of movement stuff. Like, I think this plays pretty similarly to what Getsy's familiar with and going to be able to do with Gardner. So it really protects you. It's such a different style than Aiden O'Connell. It's such a different style than some of these rookie quarterbacks. But you know, as a play caller, that there are things that Gardner has done and can do in the NFL that are successful. And one thing he does really well is he makes chicken salad out of chicken. You know what? Like, when things are broken down last year for the Colts, he was able to move around and you look and say, well, that was the luckiest throw I've ever seen. But when you do it over and over and over again, maybe it's not luck, right? So I think that's a part of what, you know, the mustache man can do here is, like, he can turn around, improvise when they need them to. He can save plays that are bad plays. That's what this team is going to need if they end up in that situation. I want to remind everybody, you do not want to get stuck like the Vikings did in a world where all of a sudden you're bringing people in every 2 weeks. You don't want to get it stuck like the Browns did. Yeah, Joe Flacco ended up working out, but how much did they have to go through to get to Joe Flacco? Like, you don't want to get into a situation where you're calling somebody you know, midway through the season, begging them to get off the couch and come play football. So I think this was a brilliant move.
And the reality of it too, Fitz, right? We talk about the identity of the Raiders. We talk about the identity of the Antonio Pierce, Tom Telesco Raiders. If the defense plays the way that we hope and anticipate it's going to play, you don't need to have Patrick Mahomes 2.0 under center, right? Would it be great? Yeah. Would it be exciting? Absolutely. But you're not going to have to ask your quarterback, whoever it is, whether it's Gardner, Aiden, or someone else that we're not even thinking about now, you're not going to have to ask them to go out there and put up 31 points on the regular if your defense is as good as we expect them to be. But Fitz, before we let you out of here, we are now officially a couple hours into the league year. What would you like to see over the coming days from your Las Vegas Raiders, keeping in mind that a lot of the big-ticket items are certainly off the board and are already spoken for, but give me a few positions that you would like to see the Raiders address, at least in some semi-meaningful way over the next week or two.
I continue to argue that I want every transaction right now to be like somebody you wouldn't want to have to fight in a Cinnabon all-you-can-eat buffet line. Like, I want fat guys on both sides of the ball. I don't care. I want big boys everywhere. I think the offensive line is something that even if they intend to address part of this in the draft, they're going to need to start bringing in some bodies, right? And day one, day two of free agency, I think most of those transactions were wildly overpriced. So when you start talking about the offensive line, trying to get somebody that can come in and compete, to your point, that's a sort of mid-level offensive lineman that's had some success, whether they're at the end of their career or whether they're just, you know, moving on from their team, I think there's some opportunity there. Defensively, I wouldn't mind seeing bring some competition to corner, obviously, still. But to our point earlier, if right now, if they're a rusher or a defensive tackle, I'm taking them. The one thing I've seen so many people on Twitter freaking out about linebacker, Patrick Graham doesn't use linebackers the way I think people are suddenly thinking. I think the Raiders are far more set there. So to me, it's fat guys on the offensive and defensive line primarily.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm kind of interested to see how the Raiders, the guys who are still unrestricted free agents, how that kind of works out. I mean, you're looking at your Greg Van Rotens, your John Jenkins, Hronus Grisu, you know, Jesper Horsted, DeAndre Carter. I mean, you're not looking at these kind of big, like I said, big ticket type names, but guys like Brandon Bolden is another one. Like, where does he kind of fit in? A guy who has done a lot for the Silver and Black the past couple seasons on a variety of different ways, you know, talking special teams, carrying the ball a little bit here and there. So, I think at this point, right, we talk about it all the time. If you, air quotes, win free agency, right, oftentimes it doesn't equate to winning games in the fall, right? Now, do you need to make your team better? Absolutely. Do I think the Raiders are a better team today than they were 72 hours ago? Absolutely, 100%. All that's to say, just build that depth, build that competition, the name of the game fits, because when you get to the draft, which will be here before we know it, kind of seeing now how you've been able to kind of complement free agency with the draft and vice versa, and now all of a sudden you look at your 90-man roster and say, okay, how do we get this bad boy to 53 over the next couple months? And then it gets to be a lot of fun. So I'm with you, Fitz. Big guys on both sides of the line, depth, competition. I don't need any more big splashes, right? Would they be fun? Would they be exciting? Yeah, of course they would. But I feel good about what Tom Telesco and AP have done in the early days of free agency. And now, I talk about all the time, depth, competition. Let's see where this thing shakes out. On that note, Fitz, thank you. Give me the 30 seconds of plugs of where the good people that listen to our program can find you.
Oh, yeah. Be sure to check out Yahoo Sports, the app out there. We've got tons of content going. You can find me on Twitter at Jason Fitz, and also Saturday mornings on Fox Sports Radio, The Fellows, 5 to 9 a.m. Eastern every Saturday morning on Fox Sports Radio. So I'm everywhere. Just come hang out with me on social media. You can get it all from there.
There he is, the great Jason Fitz, friend of the program. And on that note, man, our first Upon Further Review of the year, of the league year, I should say, is in the books. So big thank you to our guy, Jason Fitz. Big thank you from everyone else here at Silver and Black Productions. We will see you guys, I don't want to say same time, same place next week, because I have a feeling, Jason Fitz, that we're going to have some player interviews coming up in the next couple days. So until then, be safe, be healthy, and we'll see you next time for our next episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.